Let's turn it in our Bibles to the book of Jude this evening.
Jude, verse number 10 is where we're at. If you have a handout sheet, you know that. Verse number 10 simply says this, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts and those things, they corrupt themselves." Father, we thank you for this verse. And as we spend a few moments in it this evening, Father, bless us. May your Holy Spirit fill us and help us to glean something from it that will be helpful in our lives as we serve you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're obviously grabbing a verse that is a part of a larger section of Scripture here. This goes back to the theme verse. What is the theme of the book of Jude? Earnestly contending for the faith. Now, if you remember, this was not what Jude intended to write when he sat down to write, but the Holy Spirit changed his direction and his focus to write on that, encouraging them to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, what was the reason why they needed to earnestly contend for the faith? Very good. Certain men crept in unawares. And so these are men that are in the church, recognized as leaders in the church, as teachers or even preachers, that grabbed a hold of false doctrine, and they're creating division and schism. And God wanted to set the record straight that we as a church are not to tolerate those things. And I believe it's 2 Timothy, he calls the church the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, obviously, when he says the church, he's not talking about the building. And he's also not only talking about the preachers and the pastoral staff or even the deacons and the trustees. He's talking about all of us. We all need to know these major doctrines. We spent a lot of time on those when we looked at that verse. But that's where we find the context of the verse that's before us when he says, "But these are these certain men crept in unawares that are causing trouble." I just read a letter from Corbin Butler, who's starting a church down in Florida. And he said that he had a man in his church that held on to some false doctrine. And I don't remember how many hours he spent discussing things with this man and studying the background on it, but just some false doctrine. And he was praising the Lord that this man just decided to leave. I had one of these people. I say these people because there's a man on the internet, Stephen Anderson. If don't get a hold of his stuff, he is a false teacher, but he apparently puts out some pretty good videos, and it's full of false doctrine. He has salvation without repentance. That is not salvation. But anyway, I had one in the church in Bucyrus. You know what they try to do? They get in the church, they get in good with the church, and then they try to change the pastor. If the pastor doesn't change, then they leave. That's the way it ought to be. They ought not even do that. Now, why don't they go out and start their own churches with their own false doctrine? Because people won't fall for it. So they aim for the preacher. If they can change the preacher, they can change the church. It's not quite a cult, but it's pretty close to it. You see, these certain men crept in unawares are still in our churches today. Many of them are just not recognizable. Many of them slip through the cracks because we don't know our doctrine. Well, let's look at the foolishness of these false teachers tonight. It's brought out here in verse number 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Now, we see two things here, the things they know not and the things they know. And so God starts out with the things they know not. They speak evil of them. Here we see their criticism. To speak evil just means to blaspheme someone or just to say bad things about. I mean, I think we understand this idea of speaking evil. They don't say good things about the truth. Now, when it says they know not, in the English we have that one word know. It's a little bit more specific in the biblical languages. this is one that tells us that they should have known because they had been taught these things in the past. They should have known the truth, and yet instead of accepting the truth by faith, instead of accepting the Word of God, they said, well, that can't be true. I don't believe it. Therefore, it's just not right. And they speak evil of the truth. Now, they should have just been silent about the subjects they didn't understand, the subjects they didn't know. That's how they should have responded. But instead of being silent, which would have showed a little bit of wisdom on their part, they were critical and criticized these things. And I could give you example after example of those things. You know, remember in the Afghan war, what was the group we were fighting against? What were they called? Anyone remember? Y'all know it. Yeah, the Taliban. Did you know we were called Taliban Baptists because we take a stand on the Word of God? This is by other independent fundamental Baptists. At least they previously were. I'm not exactly sure where they stand now because they slipped an awful lot from where they were. But there was a day when they were the greatest missionary sending Baptist fellowship or Baptist group in the world. But now if you take a stand on the Bible, which is a doctrinal issue, they think you're a Taliban Baptist. This is blasphemy. They're speaking evil. They're saying bad things about us. They use it in the worst possible way. That's what goes on, and that's what was happening back in the first century. The devil doesn't have any new tricks, any new games. He still does the same thing for one reason, because he's still successful at it. Man still falls for his deceptions and his tricks. And so instead of being silent about these things they didn't understand, they were critical and said the wrong thing and showed their foolishness. Now, what were some things perhaps they might have been critical of that they didn't believe? Well, one would be the resurrection and the associated judgments afterward. Not necessarily the resurrection of Christ. That comes up in just a little bit. But I'm just talking about the fact that this life is not all there is. There is a life beyond this. Every man, woman, and child, every soul that ever comes into existence will never cease to exist. Now, I understand God uses that word eternal death, but that is still an existence. We just don't understand the word death in the biblical phrase, and I think you probably do because I've said it a number of times. Death is just separation, It's not a cessation of existence like the world defines it. That is an inaccurate definition that the devil has invented to try to make hell sound like a ridiculous place. You know, how many people today believe that this life is all there is? When they close their eyes to this world, that's the end. There is no more consciousness after that. You see, that's what they're criticizing. That's what they're speaking evil of, the fact that there is an existence beyond this world. It's called heaven and it's called hell, which is the second thing that they would speak evil of. Denying the very existence of hell, or denying that hell is literal fire, a lake of fire. The Word of God is very clear on this. We're not going to go through all the scriptures. We've done that earlier in our study in the book of Jude. But and so I'm being redundant, but we need to. We need to understand these things. We need to grasp these things. We need to have a handle on these so that if someone stands up and they use deceptive language, oftentimes they'll say things in a way that make you think that they believe the same thing you do. Just listen to a televangelist sometime. Excuse me, listen to them closely. Because they'll veil the way they say things, and they will deny the very things you believe, but they'll make it sound like they're with you. Why do they do that? Because they want your money. They want you to send your offerings into them. But where's the storehouse? It's not the televangelist's office. It's the local church. But anyway, they deny that hell is real or that the fire is real. They deny heaven is real. They just don't think there's any existence after this world. Another thing that they may have spoken evil against is the Word of God. That God gave it to us in a supernatural way. It's not like any other book. No one criticizes, the Iliad? I think that's the one that we don't have a single existing copy. And I forget how they put it all together. I read a book one time where they talked about all this. You know, no one questions its existence and that it's a real book, but they do that with the Word of God, which has all this evidence of ancient manuscripts that we know that this is truly the Word of God and that it's translated exactly the way God would have it to be. And no one takes the works of Shakespeare's and says, hey, you know, we ought to update that language. We ought to update those words. They don't do that to that. Why do they want to do that to the Word of God? Because the devil is behind it. These certain men crept in unawares that are trying to destroy your faith, that are trying to destroy your church, that are trying to remove Christianity from the face of the earth as at least biblical Christianity. They don't mind Christianity as long as it has no power, as long as it has no effect on a person's life, as long as it's nothing more than a feel-good medicine for people seeking to be religious. God gave us His Word through verbal inspiration, and He's preserved it ever since. Boy, that one takes it on the nose, preservation. They think God was able to, at least this is what they teach, God was powerful enough to give it by inspiration, but He wasn't powerful enough to preserve it. And so we've lost it. God allowed man to destroy His Word, and they're still seeking for it. If you go on the radio, almost every single one, I'm only saying the word almost because I really don't know, the ones I'm familiar with, every last one of them would say that the Bible they use is the closest they can come to what God actually said because they don't really know where it is. Every last one of them that I know of, but I'll say almost because maybe there's some that really believe that God preserved His Word. I don't know of any, but maybe there's one out there. I would hope so. These certain men crept in unawares. They speak evil of these things they don't know. We'll talk about why they don't know after a little bit, but you know, there's another thing that perhaps, and I know this one takes it on the chin all the time, whether these people questioned it back then or not, I don't know. I assume they did. But the virgin birth of Christ, that's letter D, the virgin birth of Christ. Jesus was conceived supernaturally. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and the baby, the human body, was formed in her womb, and Jesus moved in. The substitutionary death, letter E. The substitutionary death on the cross. That one is argued by the religious liberal today. They say that He didn't really die, that He just swooned, or they come up with all kinds of excuses. And they did back in the first century as well, of why Jesus didn't die on the cross. But He did. Fully dead. But then also fully resurrected, or the physical resurrection is the next one there. The physical resurrection of Christ from the grave. You know, there's a lot of denominations today that teach Jesus' only resurrection is when someone believes in Him and He comes alive in their heart and in their soul. That's what they say. And then perhaps at a funeral they'll say, you know, this person will stay alive if you keep them in your heart. It's the same thing. Does that person ever actually come back to life? No. Not in that body, at least not yet. If they're lost, they never will. They'll be resurrected for the last judgment and then cast back into hell for all eternity. And they believe that's all Jesus did, that He's never coming back. that he is as dead as a doornail. The body's completely decomposed. That's what they teach. You see, they're speaking evil of that which they don't know. You see, Jesus has risen from the dead. How do I know? Because he saved me. I don't need any more evidence than that, how he changed my life. And you hopefully understand that as well because you've seen him work in your life. And then akin to that is the bodily return. The bodily return. Jesus is coming back. Some people don't believe that. The Word of God teaches it very clearly. Just read the book of Revelation sometime. He'll get on that white horse and he'll ride down to earth. Read the book of Zechariah. He puts his foot down. The first place he steps, the mountain's going to crack in two. Now, there's a reason for that, not just to show his power, but he's bringing relief to the Jews of Jerusalem so that they can survive the siege of the city. The value of prayer, that's letter H. They scoff at prayer. And I've told you before how the one episode I watched Touched by an Angel twice, and I just happened to get the rerun, saw the same one twice. And so I saw them say this twice on that show, that prayer makes you feel better. And I don't remember the exact way they worded it, but there's no value. There's no one in heaven to hear you, but you feel better. So pray. And they encourage prayer because it makes you feel better. Well, prayer should make you feel better, but it makes you feel better because you're talking to a God in heaven who is sovereign, who has omnipotent power to change hearts, to change lives, to change circumstances. A God who cares for you and a God who loves you and a God who wants the best for you. That's why prayer has value, because God hears and God answers and God moves. If the only value was to make me feel better, then I might as well talk to the piano. I never talked to a piano before. You know, I don't plan to talk to a piano. Because piano can't do me any good, because I don't know how to play it. It'll never make me feel better, but God will. All right, the last one here, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. I was reading a letter from a missionary organization, a new evangelical missionary organization. They were talking about how much money was given to them over the past year, record amounts, and what they used it for was all humanitarian needs. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a good thing to help those in need. But not once did they even hint that the gospel was being given out. What happened? I know this organization at one time was about getting the gospel out, but they changed leadership. Now apparently they're clueless. And now they speak evil of the Great Commission simply because they're all about a social gospel. You know, 100 years ago, the social gospel was a big thing, a little over 100 years ago. All the convention mission agencies were doing the social gospel. And that's where fundamentalism pulled out of the great conventions, the Northern Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Convention. They pulled out because they said, this just isn't scriptural. And we're going right back into it today. When did the Great Commission ever include feeding the hungry and clothing the needy and feeding or helping the poor? That's just loving our neighbor as ourselves. But that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to get the gospel out there and convert them to Christianity, convert them to Christ. And a lot of people speak evil. They criticize the Great Commission and they change it to a social gospel. All right, that's their criticism. They criticize things they don't know, but they corrupt the things they do know. Now, how do they know? This is a different word, know. And this one just, they know it by their five senses. Just, they hear, they see, they smell, they touch. Experiential knowledge. Brute means lacking, find my definition here, lacking reason or destitute of reason. Unable to think straight is how I would put it. Destitute of reason is the dictionary definition. I don't use those words. I use simpler words because I'm not that smart. It just means they can't think straight. They can't think reasonably or logically. Corrupt indicates that they are unfit for ministry. Unfit for ministry. Now, wait a minute. Remember who these certain men crept in unawares were? They were teachers and they were preachers. Today, they would even be missionaries. Unfit for ministry because of the corruption in their lives. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things, they corrupt themselves. Well, what would their ministry focus on? I've already touched on this to an extent. But they would focus perhaps on human rights. Isn't that a big one today? Primarily in our inner city churches. It's all about human rights and it's all about civil rights. That would be number two. But look at how many churches now are, you know, as far as human rights are concerned, they're divesting from Israel in favor of the Muslims. The Jordanians, oftentimes called Palestinians, but my understanding is the vast majority of them are just Jordanians, and they're turning their back on Israel. Where's that getting them? People are flooding out the back door of these mainline denominations, divesting from Israel, because God will not bless anything that turns their back on Israel. If our nation ever does, you might as well turn out the lights and move somewhere else, because God's blessing will be removed. Human rights in the area of sodomy. And, you know, so many of the mainline denominations, again, are, they have their sodomite wedding ceremonies right in their ministers' books. You know, I'll never do one. I'll go to jail first. It's just the way it is, because I stand on God's word and God says that's an abomination. So human rights and civil rights. Now, we believe everyone is created equal. That's what the word of God teaches. We're all created in the image of God. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter how much intelligence we have or don't have. It doesn't matter what physical disabilities we have or don't. It's all irrelevant. We're all created in the image of God. We all deserve respect. We all deserve dignity. That's what the Word of God teaches. But we're not to get hung up on civil rights. We really shouldn't. All right, letter C, meeting physical needs. And that's what I've talked about already, pretty much a social type gospel. A lot of churches are into psychology. That would be letter D, building one's self-esteem. Smiley Joel down in Houston, that's all he's about. It's all psychology. Did you know our charismatic friends are all about psychology? In Crawford County, where I pastored before this, the biggest church in the county, his college education was a psychiatry degree from a state college. And boy, did he use that to his advantage. But that healing and all that stuff, that's just all psychiatry. Psychology, they're just manipulating people. Number five, counseling. Counseling. I couldn't tell you how many advertisements I got or have seen of churches that are having financial seminars and instead of preaching. You read the Word of God, God does all of that in His Word. And then just plain old carnality, plain old carnality. The churches that serve booze with Sunday school. What about the churches that have a coffee shop in the back of the building, you know, in the lobby, and get your coffee and donut, come in and enjoy Sunday school and church? Now that's carnality. You can do without your coffee. Get it. Wake up a few minutes early so you can eat it and drink it before you get to church. Have a little common sense and a little respect for God and His house. You know, that's what the Word of God teaches. But these corrupt men crept in unawares, could care less. They've corrupted themselves, defiled themselves in the things they know. And so the conclusion, two things. First of all, they're faithless, and that's the bottom line. They're faithless. They just don't believe the Word of God. Now, if they reject those things we talked about under criticism, those things they should have known, those things they had been taught and rejected, the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection, the substitutionary death, those are fundamentals of the faith. You cannot be saved. You do not have Christianity without those biblical truths, or even the inspiration of the Word of God and the preservation of God's Word. You don't have Christianity without it. You don't. You have religion, but you do not have Christianity. You've got something you've just made up, because you just make up whatever you want. You throw out whatever you want to throw out, and you keep what you like. That's religion. They're faithless. Don't believe in the supernatural. But they're also fatherless. And that's the sad part. You know, rather than throwing them all in jail, you know, the penalty of a false prophet in the Old Testament. Anybody know what that was? You should have just read it if you're reading through your Bible not too long ago. What's the penalty for a false prophet? It's death. Yeah, stoning. Stoning, you just cover them up with rocks. They're dead. That's not what we're supposed to do in our day and age. We're in the age of grace. We should pity them, and we should pray for them, and do what we can to see that they get saved, because they're fatherless. They have no Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide them. But there are certain men crept in unawares throughout Christianity today, men that have written books. And you go to the Christian bookstore, I just call it a trinket shop. There's really not much in the way of books anymore, but you look at the authors. You're only going to have a handful of authors, and pretty much every one of them are these certain men crept in unawares. It's a sad state that Christianity's in. We need churches like ours all across America and all across our world that'll stand up for what's written in this book and oppose these men that are crept in unawares, that each one of us in these churches would earnestly contend for the faith. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to us, encourage us, teach us, that we might obey the commands found in this little book of Jude to earnestly contend for the faith, have the wisdom and the ability to recognize that which is false and proclaim the truth. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.